This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 197 for Friday, August 8th, 2014. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson, host. I hate to call myself a host. We'll never like that.
The host with the most.
No, I don't really like that either. Anyway, I run this little site. We do this little podcast every week, usually on Friday. Though I think I just scheduled one for another Thursday in a couple weeks, so we'll see. So, how's everybody doing? It's been another interesting week. If it's your first time joining us, hi. So yeah, we're live today. We're doing video. We're a little late today because I think Google changed things. So the program I used to record the audio separately was not working, and it's still not working. So if, for all you guys listening to the audio-only version, we don't sound quite as nice. Huh?
There is no audio.
There is no audio. We're just flapping our gums. Yeah, so that's what that was about. So we'll see how it turns out. Maybe it'll be just fine. So, yeah, that's how we used to do it. Not a huge deal. Let's just get into it. Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, everyone.
Jerry Hildenbrand in West Virginia.
Hey, hey, hey.
Jerry, why do you have your fire going? It's summertime.
Because I'm just a rustic kind of guy.
Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
Hello. No fire. No fire here.
I was just thinking as I was driving back to the office, I was like, man, like exactly a week ago I was in Texas, and it feels like it was yesterday. But it also feels like it was like a month ago. But we're back. I'm glad we're back. I've been having a lot of fun with the podcast lately. I don't know about you guys.
I always have fun on the podcast.
You know what I don't have on is my lower third. I should turn my lower third on.
Oh, that happens sometimes too.
Yeah, well, it's because I had to restart stuff, remember?
Too much fun for formalities.
Yep. Hey, there's the Q&A too. We're back. Sorry. So, what shall we talk about this week? Perhaps some Android, perhaps, I don't know, other stuff. Anything else going on that we want to get out of the way? No? can we talk about this big giant thing on my microphone still? Because it's throwing me off. Jerry was just making fun of it.
Well, it's bigger than you are.
That's true. Put my head up next to it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty conspicuous. So, anyway, it helps things sound nicer, I think. I'm trying to avoid talking about the Android stuff because we got a lot of doom and gloom this week, even though we shouldn't, I think, because I'm still excited about stuff. But we have doom and gloom. Should we just get the doom and gloom out of the way?
Sure.
Do it.
So let's talk briefly about the Facebook FUD scare. I was hoping we were going to get through the week without having to write about it. And like for the past 2 days, Renee Ritchie and I, Renee from iMore, you all know him, have been trading links back and forth of just these horrible, horrible stories talking about how bad Android permissions are, and it's just messed up, and Facebook Messenger is trying to just invade your life, and it's horrible, and I finally had to write something because people kept reblogging this really bad...
old.
Story. Yeah, and it was old, too. A story in the Huffington Post from early December, and I went and looked, and actually we wrote something in late December as well when Facebook responded to stuff then. You know, basically saying, oh my God, look at all these permissions Facebook Messenger has, and it's really horrible, and it shouldn't have these, and how do you know? It's like, wait, stop. You don't understand. Yeah, I mean, it was just people spreading crap is what it was. And as much as I didn't want to write about it, we kind of had to because people keep, you know, sharing these horrible stories out there and then asking if it was true. So, no, I mean, Jerry, give us like the 30-second version of how Android permissions work because I've been swimming in them today and I need a break.
The problem part of it is Google tells you everything that they should tell you. I love that they tell us all this stuff. They throw it out there with zero context.
Right.
Facebook needs access to your microphone without asking you because they don't want to have to ask you every time you make a phone call on Facebook Messenger. You cannot talk on the phone if they can't get to your microphone. It's if you break each individual permission down and look at it logically and look at exactly what it says and don't read any more or any less into it, it makes sense. But when it's all just thrown at you and it's all jumbled up, and you see things like access your camera at any time, access your microphone, access your contact list. And if you don't break that down into why it's going to need each one and just look at it all together, it's like, oh my God, this app is going to kill us all.
And they give it to you up front. You either accept all of these permissions. It's not, and I think that's the other problem people have. It's not asking you if it can use this permission. It's saying, these are the things I as an application will have access to if you install me. I think that's the other point of confusion for that. It's not saying, I would like access to your camera. It is literally declaring, I will have access to your camera. I will be able to do this, this, and this with Wi-Fi or cell networks or Bluetooth or whatever.
I'm going to go right out on this limb and say that this is Google's problem to fix. If they want to present the user up front with all the things this application is going to do, and they don't want to explain what all that means, this is what's going to happen. This is always what's going to happen. And if it's been, what, 4 years now since Android started to get popular and everybody started worrying about permissions, it's not going to get any better. If they don't fix it, it's just going to continue.
I agree with you, but there are ways around it. And one of them is, and it's not the sexiest in the world, but you do what we and a whole bunch of other developers have done, and that is in your app description, you say, here are the reasons we are declaring these permissions. Here's what they do. And I still get people emailing me saying, why do you need to be able to set my wallpaper? Because we have a wallpaper gallery, and it lets you install wallpapers.
I just can't help but think it's a more effective use of time for Google to explain them once than to have every app developer explain them each and every time.
The problem is that developers kind of get shamed into having to post something in their description because they get a bunch of one-star reviews flooding in. As soon as they add or remove a permission with an update, people freak out, and they don't want to read. They don't want to figure it out. They just say, what is this? One star, uninstall.
We ran into that a couple weeks ago as we were updating our app. There was a library in one of the little analytics modules we use that actually it was declaring some new Wi-Fi permission. I forget exactly what it was.
So it's like Wi-Fi state or something like that?
Yeah, it was one of the Wi-Fi state ones. And so I asked our dev, I was like, hey, I need to know why we're adding this just so I can explain it, because I want to, people are going to have to manually install the app now. It won't auto-update. And B, transparency. I want to tell them what it is and why we're using it. And so he looked into it, and he's like, that doesn't really make sense because I don't see anything that says it should use it. And, we dug into GitHub, and GitHub. Wow, that was a southern explanation.
You can take the boy out of Florida.
That's a message notification right there.
GitHub. he went and asked the developer of that library and said, hey, we're seeing this and we're not really sure what it does. Can you let us know? And the developer of that library came back and said, oh, yeah, that shouldn't be in there. That was something we were going to add in there and ended up not putting in there. Shouldn't be there. So we found a way to work around it, and we actually delayed the release until we were able to put one out that didn't declare that extra permission that just wasn't needed. Because, it's bad practice to, have all these permissions you're not actually using.
Absolutely.
And B, it was just going to cause confusion. And it actually caused confusion within the beta group. There were people in the beta group who did not read the changelog actually in the beta post or in the changelog of the app itself. So I
love you guys. All the beta testers, we love the hell
absolutely.
Out of you. But if you're going to beta test, read that stuff. Come on.
Well, but it just goes to show how quickly, people will click through that stuff. And I do it too. Everybody does it.
But then you can't come back later and say, I didn't read it, but I'm offended.
Right. Well, they can and they will.
Well,
the problem is explaining it, right? You can, from Google's perspective, they can never explain every possible use of all permissions. So, can't explain in advance what every app is potentially going to do with that. And like you said, if the onus is on the app developer to do that, then maybe a more sensible way of going about it, but at the same time you're relying on them to do that, which they don't have to do. If you're going to take the time to do that, that's just going to potentially cause confusion.
Well, I always use the read phone state permission as an example. One of my favorite games used to have that in it, and everybody questioned it in the review. Why do you need to see my phone state? why do you need to know how if I'm using my phone or what's going on with my phone? So they gave in and took it out. And now if I don't touch the screen for 30 seconds, since that's my screen shut off time, in the middle of the damn game, the phone shuts off. The screen goes dead. These permissions don't always do just what you think they do by their name. There are lots of reasons to use them. And it would not kill Google to say, read phone state. This means that the app can pause if you get a phone call, or it can say, hey, you're running an app. Let's not shut the screen off. There are lots of things it could do, and Google does none of that. They just say, read phone state.
This is probably a need on Google's part to make things brief and succinct, right?
Yep.
If you want to find out what permission does, you don't necessarily want to read a paragraph about every single thing it can do. And I think the responsibility has to go to the developer at some point to see if, you know, if you're tech savvy enough to be aware of permissions and what they do and potential dangers, then you know, maybe you're tech savvy enough to read a little bit extra in the description that tells you exactly what's going on with these permissions.
Or just hide all the damn permissions except push messages like iOS does.
Well,
and
look,
it just does whatever it wants to do without telling you.
And they have cleaned up the way that you see permissions when you install from Google Play. And yeah, we've talked about that before. I'm back and forth on that, right? On one hand, it looks better, it's a little easier to read, but on the other hand, they're
buried, and you don't get.
Yeah, they're more buried. And it's, I don't think there's one easy answer, right? I really wish, you know, because I dive through this every now and then, and they still haven't really made it clear, just in the developer pages that I end up at. I don't know if there's something, you know, hidden somewhere that I haven't found yet, but it's still pretty technical and almost like, here's what you get when you have engineers explain things to you,
mm-hmm.
which on one hand is good. It needs to be technical. But on the other hand, there needs to be some place where all of these permissions that can be declared for these protected APIs are, you know, explained in plain English. Because even some of it I have to guess at a little bit. And, you know, with the Facebook Messenger app, at least you're able to you know, figure it out as you're using it. I had to go back and actually wipe data in the app and start from scratch and make sure a couple things were still there, because the way it does SMSs has changed. It used to let you do SMSs from outside the app. But now it's all handled within there, or maybe it's the other way around. I forget which it changed. It still does SMS capability. I know people were asking about that. But yeah, somewhere Google just needs to have this stuff explained in plain English. Here's this permission. Here's what it does. Here are a couple of examples of why it might be in an app. And, you know, that way the users aren't left, you know, us, we're not left trying to guess and figure out, well, why does this app need this? And, you know, the SD card is another one of my favorites, because when it says, hey, we're going to be able to write the SD card, it doesn't actually mean, I've got one sitting here somewhere, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, this doesn't go in a phone, but this physical SD card, right?
Yeah, if that's all virtualized and sim-linked inside. SD card means a different thing on every phone anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a mess. I hate that these bad stories are just being shared around Facebook without, you know, people don't read before they share. I get that.
That's kind of part of the problem, is that this is getting back with Facebook, and so people defaultly think, oh, it's Facebook. They must be just stealing everything, taking everything from you. So
well, they're not necessarily writes, wrong. But
no, they think it's for nefarious reasons, and there's no reason for Facebook Messenger to have access to your microphone other than the fact that they're listening to everything you say. And it's like the story kind of writes itself when it's about Facebook, and it means that nobody's talking about the permissions properly.
Well, now, the flip side of that is, if Facebook wanted to make the Messenger listen to every single thing you say, that's how they would have to do it, is tell you they need access to your microphone without your permission. You're always going to have that, do I trust this developer to not do something nefarious with the permission that I'm giving him when I install his app or her?
Yeah, I mean, you don't completely give away your responsibility for
right.
taking care of your device and your information just because an app happens to be on Google Play.
Now, having said that, I'm no fan of Facebook, but they're not going to steal your stuff like that. They're going to do it secretly.
Right.
And through the internet.
And, you know, it would be pretty obvious. We would find out pretty quickly if they were doing something nefarious, I think.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine the battery drain if they were listening to everything you said all the time?
If, oh, I could take my phone and say, okay, Facebook.
I'm trying to think of any other... I mean, Facebook's the easy one to hate because it's Facebook. Yep. And actually, when you look back, and here's another interesting thing you could do, and I did a little bit this morning as I was writing it, is find a similar app that does sort of, you know, the same sort of thing and check the permissions of that app. And I'm not saying it's going to be one-to-one because it's not, but you know, I use the Google Hangouts app as an example, right? Put those permissions up side by side, and it'd be an interesting little experiment to do and see which ones match up and which ones don't. And if there's really some outlier that doesn't make sense, well, then what you do is say, all right, what does this one app do that Hangouts doesn't? What does Messenger do that Hangouts doesn't? And then does the permission make sense? And if it still doesn't make sense, you know, you email the developer, ask them.
Right.
And that's, you know, we get our pitchforks and we set them on fire, but ask the developer. Now, again, Facebook's probably not the best example for that. But, Jesus, if somebody emailed us and said, hey, why do you guys use this permission? I'm going to probably get back to you pretty quickly.
I'll tell you what, Facebook is huge, and I can only imagine the volume of email and user feedback they get. But if you email Facebook and ask them why they want to do a certain thing on your phone, they should get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe there are people in the engineering staff that care enough that they want to get back to you. May not be as fast as you like, but that's something we ought to try.
Yeah. So, I mean, the sky's not falling.
And now, on that note, the next time, can I please just have one more day of watching the chaos and everything burn before you get in there and fix it? Because that was fun.
Somebody in the comments who obviously didn't read the post is like, you guys are late as usual. I'm like, I didn't even want to write this. We are not late. In fact, it looks like everybody this morning decided, oh, crap, we finally have to write that. I saw a bunch of other stories. You know, we did things a little differently. I went permission by permission, and it actually was kind of fun. Trying to figure out, all right, what does this one do? This one's obvious. What does this one do? There were only one or two that I had to really stop and think and go back and use, but I don't think I even really had to go crying to Jerry to figure it out.
Nope.
Which I was kind of proud of myself there.
You're a nerd. You just won't admit it.
No, I'm very much a nerd. It's just, you know, we all have different nerdy things.
Yeah, but you're like a nerd and won't admit it.
And I didn't sleep a lot last night, and I've had a lot of coffee today, and I was just running around, so it's, you know, kind of the last thing I wanted to do. But it's done. I'm glad it's done. I feel better now. Anything in the Q&A about this? No, I mean, look, I figure maybe not most people, but a lot of people listening to this podcast, especially the ones here live, because you're really insane. You know, we're all up on this. We get it. And I get that the permissions are confusing. It's not easy to write about because it is confusing. And you have permissions, and then you have the, you know, when you have multiple apps that all do the same thing, and I get that it's tough. But, you know, if you have questions, ask. Don't write crappy blog posts. I think that's really the point we all need to take away from this.
And it's not easy for the developers either. Mm-hmm. Not all of that is automatic. They have to go back and add and remove permissions by hand sometimes, so they deserve a little bit of slack.
That's what we had to do for the one that was in that library. Neil had to, you know, kind of hack it to get it out of there, because we didn't really want to wait for them to fix it. And they might have fixed it by now. I don't know. I didn't even look. But yeah, I mean, I know we take it seriously, and you know, for me, it's all about the transparency. I want to know what's changed, and if you add a permission, tell me why.
Yep,
not that big a deal. So, cool. You want to do some Q&A, or you want to move on to
Let's do some Q&A before we go to the next horrible thing that's got everything.
Because Jerry's about to get really revved up.
Nope, I'm going to remain calm.
I'm going to start at the top. Brendan asks, according to Droid Life, a new Motorola device is supposed to be released on September 25th. Do you think it will be the Moto X Plus One? Yeah, I mean, we're expecting Motorola to announce and or release stuff anytime now, right? So
that's the time frame.
Yeah, that it might seem a little late or maybe not. I mean, God, we're all getting close to halfway through August already.
When it's the first follow-up device to the Moto X, there's one point for a pattern, so you can't exactly say that that's a little late or a little early or anything.
Yeah, and we're used to a month either side with major releases. I think the end of September would be within that window that we're used to.
I will say, you know, just be careful when people start throwing around dates. You know, it's either right or it's wrong. I don't get too hung up on that anymore. You remember, what phone was it?
You'll find out who's correct in a couple
All
months.
Of them. That's was what it, phone it was.
There was one that was really bad a few years ago.
The Bionic.
The Bionic, yeah.
Genex on Verizon?
Yeah. I just remember Best Buy having like 13 dates, and you know we were getting leaks of when the date was going to be, and they were all just wrong because it just kept changing. It'll come out when it come out.
And the thing is, every date that leaked was real when it leaked.
Right. It's not that it was bad. It just ended up not being. I'm moving my camera. Just ended up not being the date because it changed. So I don't freak out about that stuff anymore. I know that people are waiting to get new phones, and I'm really excited to see it too. But
I'm waiting
that time of year.
I haven't bought one yet this year. I'm waiting.
We'll talk about devices in a minute. Ben wants to know, what do you think of Google as a mobile carrier? Is a data-only network a possibility? It's absolutely a possibility. It's what everybody's sort of switching to, right, with voice over LTE.
I don't think Google will ever be able to pull that off with regulators.
Yeah.
And I don't think I want them to. They own the smartphone market worldwide. In America, they have a huge chunk of it. They own search. They basically own your browser. I don't know that I want them owning the data transmission system for all this either. Tinfoil hat prepared.
Well, they're letting them do Google Fiber.
Yeah, but it's not for smartphones.
Well, it is when you connect your smartphone to your Wi-Fi router at home.
I mean, it's not, a smartphone carrier. I don't think I want to see Google be a smartphone carrier at all.
I think if it does go in that direction, it's going to have to be something like, an extension of the Google Fiber project that includes just massive amounts of free Wi-Fi everywhere and also Google Voice or some later development of Google Voice. That's the direction Google will go for it if they do decide to do that. And surely they're aware of the sort of regulatory issues that they would run into, which maybe they would be able to sidestep if they were to do that.
I mean, not to mention that just the general physical issues with them building a nationwide network in the U.S. is kind of crazy. They would have to throw down some massive amount of money, basically buy another carrier in order to get it started. It would take them decades to build out a network, and by that time, why is it even worth it?
Oh, Andrew Martonic says Google to buy T-Mobile confirmed. Yeah.
Who isn't nowadays, though?
Was the T-Mobile Sprint thing ever actually publicly announced as a thing?
Yes.
Both sides admitted they were in talks.
Especially Masayoshi-san, basically. Not even basically. He was saying this is what he wanted to do, and this is why I think that the regulators will approve it.
But I can't help but think the only thing any of the regulators ever had to say is that they don't like the idea. So, I'm not sure why anybody's so surprised.
There was never any good indication out of the government that they were going to approve that. And the whole thing is that Sprint or SoftBank or whatever, they have plenty of people that can give them a good idea whether or not the government's going to approve something before they sink too much money into it.
And I think that's what happened here. It never got far enough in the talks where there's a breakup fee. So, I think SoftBank realized this is as far as we're going to be able to go with this right now, so let's just scrap it, and we'll revisit.
And sadly, we saw some of the same things happening here with Sprint that we saw with T-Mobile when AT&T was buying them, from the other side now, where Sprint, now they're really in kind of a weird spot because in some ways they were banking on buying T-Mobile to not have to worry about them anymore. And the word had it that T-Mobile CEO was going to be taking Dan Hesse's job, and that's not going to be happening. So they replaced Dan Hesse with another guy instead. It's kind of a weird inflection point for Sprint.
I'm okay with four carriers, four majors.
I wish we had five or six or seven.
Well, too bad Metro PCS and Leap and what's the other one that's got bought? Altel.
I think we ought to break up Verizon and AT&T myself.
All right, well, let's edge closer to the bad news we don't want to talk about. But before we do that, let's talk about something happy. Something that makes Jerry downright giddy. Jerry, show him your giddy face. You're going to have to say something.
Tap, tap, tap. Mm-hmm.
That's Jerry's giddy face. Let's talk for a second about...
giddy face.
Let's talk for a second about lynda.com, LYNDA.com, where you can learn basically all the things. If you want to learn Photoshop, how to make a website, how to edit video with Adobe Premiere, all sorts of really good Adobe stuff if you use Adobe products. And I know many of you out there do. Many of us in here do. Lynda.com has thousands of videos for helping you through it, help you learn it. More than 2,400 courses.
2,400.
2,400 industry experts are all teaching this stuff. Really good people. Some of the names you'll actually recognize too, which is really cool to see. I love watching really smart people teach. You can watch it anywhere on your phone, on your tablet. You can Chromecast it. They updated the app for that actually, so you can watch on your TV with your laptop in your lap and not juggle two windows at one time. Really, really good. You're going to get all the skills you need to design and develop engaging websites, from foundations to using Adobe Muse, Dreamweaver, WordPress. You can learn PHP, all sorts of Android development tools. If you want to get into Android development, you can do it there as well. And they got more new classes if you go to lynda.com/newcourses.aspx. It's there. And here's the deal. We're going to get you 7 days for free, lynda.com/AndroidCentral. 7 days free. Try it out. Guarantee you're going to like it. So much good stuff there to learn. One monthly price gets you just thousands and thousands of courses. Go learn all the things. Come work for me. That's what I want you to do. Go learn at Lynda, then come edit my video, please. Really, that's what all this is about. It's making my life easier. Lynda.com, LYNDA/AndroidCentral. 7 days for free. Go try it. All right, Jerry, you ready?
Yes.
We're going to step in the Wayback Machine now. Go back to 2012. You guys remember that?
That was the year Google screwed up.
Google Play Music. And it was All Access out then, or was it not?
No, but I just started the rollout.
All Access was 2013. Right.
Yeah.
So in the early days of Google Play Music, we had a limit to the number of devices that we could deauthorize. Right. First, we had that 10 device limit, and that was, I get that, right? You only want it on so many devices, so you're not handing out, your account credentials to somebody, the 30 of your friends. I get that. I have zero problem with
that.
Well, you should say,
go ahead, Alex.
Well, I just want to say you can only play on one device at a time, right? Exactly. That's always been the case. You've never been able to just authorize a bunch of devices and just hand them out to people. That's not the way it works.
But then, suddenly, we started getting notes that said, hey, you've already deauthorized 4 devices. No more. No more for you. You're stuck with what you have. And guess what happened this week, boys and girls?
Brought it back.
It's back. And, at the time, Google said, look, all right, we're going to get rid of this for a little while we figure out how to make it work with the customers, with you guys and with the record labels who are the ones who really want to put the screws to you, because that's really what they do for a living, I think. And now it's back. And
it's a 10-device limit with 4 devices per year. So if you're maxed out now, it's potentially, if you were to just go the usual route and wait for your deauthorizations to come back, 3 years to get all 10 back, which just seems crazy to me.
Now, let's be clear. For you guys want to agree, the vast majority of people, this won't be a thing?
For the vast majority of people, it's either going to be a minor inconvenience or...
Yeah, I don't think...
Disagree.
But there's a but coming. But for the people for whom it is an issue, it basically kills Play Music dead for them. And that includes all of us.
It's not just, phone reviewers. It's not entirely about us. It's also about the principle of it, right?
Mm-hmm. But it's also, you're completely disincentivized from, that one time you're over at your friend's house and your phone dies, you plug in your credentials on their computer, you're completely disincentivized from doing anything like that. Somebody has a phone, a tablet, a home and a work computer, and,
Computers don't count for the limit, though, right?
No.
Yeah, I think you can still you can still view it on the web.
Chromebooks count because Google's stupid, but Chromebooks right. count.
Ooh, so Jerry. What I'm saying is people have multiple devices, and you know it's not at all, you know, infeasible for somebody to have to deauthorize more than four devices in a year. A year.
You know, my problem, and myself, I'm not the best example. None of the four of us are. But you've created an operating system that you pretty much have guaranteed people are going to have to do a factory reset when it screws up. I can't be the only one that has the Nexus 5 listed three times.
That's kind of the weird thing. Resets. Is that seems to be the case with you know, having your devices show up in the Google Play installer for apps and stuff like that too. You get multiple devices. Now they say it's tied to the IMEI, but obviously they kind of have to lean on the side of getting every device possible in there so it shows up in the lists and actually activates. So people are seeing multiple devices, and then I hear other people say that they have no problems. They've flashed 30 ROMs in the last three, you know, couple days, and that's they have no problems too.
Probably a consequence of just the way that it's changed over time, where it used to be if you flashed a ROM or something that it would show up there multiple times. But of course, now the new limits gone into place, if you had those there before, it's not necessarily getting rid of them because they all share the same IMEI, which exactly. is a separate problem.
They took my money for the month of August 2 days before they told me that I couldn't use it on my new phone.
They didn't even tell anybody this, though.
Right? No, that's my thing. Part of the problem is the way it's been done, right? The way this has just happened without any kind of announcement.
They didn't give you a month heads up or something and say, hey, clear out old devices now because starting this day, you're only going to be able to deauthorize four. Yep. And they didn't even reset it at that point. You know, I didn't deauthorize four phones in the last 2 days. I can't deauthorize anything.
Right. I've got phones on there that I mailed back to AT&T 6 months ago. You know, that's useless for me. Hopefully, you know, next year I can get them all deauthorized and I can actually use it on a new phone that I'm going to spend a bunch of money on to get the Android operating system. If not, I don't know, Apple has a music service, Spotify. You know, maybe they want to take my money and treat me a little better. I don't know what word to use because I know it's not Google sitting back saying, hey, let's try to screw everybody.
Well, and that's the funny thing.
EMG and all these other music producers that's forcing their hand.
I mean, but that's the funny thing is the music labels are all in talks with all of these services, and Spotify doesn't limit the number of device deactivations you have every year. I mean, it's the same labels. They all have access to pretty much the same 20,000 or 20 million songs or so from all the same big labels. There's only a few.
I think there are a couple of ways this is going to go. Either, you know, it will just be a case of this is permanent and you have to deal with it, or there will be some workaround. Either, I think there's been talk of maybe calling Google and getting a manual reset of the devices, if not of the deauthorizations.
As soon as I have to do that, somebody else has my business instead.
Well, maybe. I mean, like, again, this is something that doesn't, the vast majority of consumers won't be affected by it, but if, you know, maybe I, when I get to the stage where I have 10 devices and, you know, I've given proper thought to what I want those to be, maybe it's a case of calling every 6 months, which is not ideal, but maybe a compromise that you'd be willing to make if you're already invested in the ecosystem. I mean, it's not good. That's not a good solution, but it's a workaround, perhaps.
If I had woke up tomorrow and, whoa, none of my devices are authorized anymore, my list is blank, and then I find out I can only do 10 total and only deauthorize 4 a year, I could have swallowed it. The way it is now, most of the devices on my list I do not have, and I've got phones here on my desk in front of me that I can't listen to the music I'm paying for every month on.
I don't want to have to call somebody to be able to use my devices.
No, I'm not going
to.
I'm going
to have the privilege of paying them $10 a month to do it, too.
You know, make it so it's something I can do. I mean,
and so even more, it's even more of an issue for, or I should say easier to switch for someone like me that doesn't have 20,000 songs uploaded or anything like that. I have maybe 1,000 uploaded. The rest is all access songs. You know, 99% of what I listen to is not uploaded by me, so I don't care. And if another service has the same exact songs, It's not that much friction.
I downloaded my library last night. If this is the way it's going to be, I'm going to have to cancel and find somebody else. And I don't want to.
We're going to get the hate again, just like we did 2 years ago. You know, when I reminded people that, look, you might pay for the music, but, you know, you're still subject to the way that they're going to get it to you, which makes no sense, but it's just the way it is. But we're going to get the hate that says, look, you know, you guys have 20 devices. So, you know,
before somebody tells me, well, if you had an SD card, you tell me how to fit 400, 500, 600,000 MP3s on an SD card.
Or 18 million.
And I just don't want to deal with it. I love Google Play Music. It is so easy. This is the way I want music to work. Don't screw it up, please.
And it's such a bizarre regression after 2 years as well. So, you know, they said we're going to come up with a better way of dealing with this, and then nothing changed. You know, I think we all thought that better way of doing it was just not to have the limit. And it seems strange that they've got away with it for 2 years, but now suddenly it's they've rolled it back.
And just, you know, be a little transparent about it. Just, hey, heads up, we have to do this. We understand it's going to cause some headaches. We're going to, you know, work to make it as painless as possible. And, you know, that's just basic customer service. And it's kind of, not to say Google's had problems with that over the years, but Google's had problems with that over the years.
And it's a shame because they make
so well
products.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a... Do you think this is the kind of problem that money would smooth over, that maybe they could sell, you know, a completely unlimited device package or sell a bunch more activations?
Only half joking when I said that.
Yeah.
Somewhere today, I forget where. I mean, I would pay $20 a month for this. Just work.
I just don't feel like Google has to throw money at anybody and then charge us more, considering that, like I said, Spotify and RDO and Beats Music have all the same deals with the same labels for the same monthly price. It's not like something that other companies haven't figured out how to do.
Yes, Jerry?
I'm not paying extra for something that I can get somewhere else for the same price.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other side of it.
Yeah. All I want to know is I want Google to list the production companies that have forced them to make this policy.
Yeah.
Do that, and I'll shut up, because then I'll know who to hate. And
it's never going to happen, but yeah. what alternatives, because for me it's a couple things. It's Chromecast and it's Sonos are the two things that I really want in an alternative. And, you know, the Sonos app, fine, that'll work, I get it. But what else will just do typical, you know, streaming plus Chromecast?
Well, now, here at the house, I use what's called OwnCloud.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your own Dropbox, and it streams media. And that works really well. At home, my biggest problem is outside of the house. I never investigated any of these other services because I really liked Google Play Music. So I don't know what to do. I'm with you. Somebody tell us what's good.
I'm not going to, you know, hang it up yet, but I'm going to start... Yeah, I'm going to start looking at alternatives.
Because right now I'm just like Jerry, I'm full on devices, and half of them I don't have anymore because I'm not judicious about cleaning out that list. It's whenever I go to activate a new phone and it says, you know, you don't have any slots, then I go to the web and clear one out. For me, it's as soon as I get the next phone I want to play music on, you just cancel and you try something else. Because... at that point, you're paying for something you cannot use.
Exactly. The strange thing is, if you try and deauthorize within the app, it just, you don't even get the error message. It just doesn't work. And I don't know. Maybe that kind of reveals that it was the nature of the change. Maybe it was a last minute thing. Maybe it was something they didn't necessarily have time to prepare for. But I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
I think teasing in milk music looks like my future.
Well, I mean, you guys heard, you know, we were obviously talking about it internally all day yesterday, and I was convinced for a while that it was just some sort of derpy, you know,
and I agree with you, because while it was happening, you know, in the midst of it rolling out, it acted very, very strange here on the web. It was doing some things like allowing me to do whatever but not saving the changes, and so I thought, yeah, this is just a screw up. This is, you know, somebody at the... on the web server has pushed a wrong button somewhere.
Which happens.
Right. This can't be true. That's what I'm telling myself. This can't be true. But Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, Google still hasn't, you know, we hit them up for, I hate to say comment because that's so journalistic, like whatever, but no, like, hey, what's going on? And haven't heard back yet. So hopefully somebody will, because I just want to know what's happening. That simple. I don't want to hate anybody. If it is what it is, cool. But I'd like to know exactly what's going on. And if it's not going to affect you, awesome. Keep using Google Play right. Music. I love it.
Right. If you buy one phone every 2 years, none of this matters to you. Just jam on.
Yeah.
But it does matter for the kind of the middle ground, the people that aren't tracking this day by day, but they do go to activate that one phone and they have no idea what's going on. There's no, you know, like Alex said, in the app, it doesn't indicate to you what's happening. You know, that's a big headache that just came out of nowhere.
You know, and help us understand what's going on so that we can help explain it to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else in the Q&A on this? Where did my window go? I lost my window.
Sashin writes, are there any special plans for the 200th episode of the Android Central podcast?
Maybe. And actually, that's going to be, I think that's the week of the, that should be the 99. Yeah, so it should be the 29th. Oh, no, it's the 29th. Yeah, so we're good that week. So I'm 2 weeks that,
going to fill a swimming pool with beer.
Yeah, no, we're absolutely good that week. In 2 weeks, we'll have to podcast on Thursday. So, yes, we might have something kind of special going on.
Party at Phil's.
Should totally invite, like, just cram this room with people and just have them all stand behind me and make fun of me and point and stuff. That'd be cool. Like, we all do that instead of a, since we're spread out, we all get our own live studio audiences behind us. That would be cool. Yeah, so last Friday I was at the Geek House, John and Callie from Geek Beat, and you know, it was like weird being there with a actual audience watching, and it was kind of the same setup we had at CES, but you know, their show and their stuff, so it was really cool to see. But yeah, it's like weird people in the room. No, yeah, the people weren't weird. It was weird having people in the room. The people in the room were very awesome. Got to meet a lot of them afterwards. Very cool setup. If you haven't, they uploaded a video of the whole thing, by the way. You can see me on there, fresh off the plane. let's just go through these. Jason Rabinowitz, my pal, airline flyer on Twitter, if you're not following him. I don't have a question, but just wanted to say that's a nice picture you have on the wall, Phil. Thank you. Oh, damn it. Almost pointed the right way. That way. Not like I don't know where the picture is. It's over there. Yeah, that was in the Atlanta airport. The other one's from the Empire State Building. Kind of cool.
They are nice pictures, though.
Thank you. That's, you know, there are all sorts of services online for printing Instagram photos. That's all that is. Should we talk about, we'll talk about this briefly. New Android L developer preview build.
Yeah, don't install it because that'll take up one of your slots in Google Play Music.
Well, I mean, that is, you could stream music on it for like 3 hours before it dies anyways.
Then there's that, and I was trying to find the question in the Q&A. Yeah, Wendell asked, battery life seems to suck. Anyone else seeing this? Yes, it is, yeah, a developer preview. It
sucked on the previous one because they're the exact same.
They I mean, I saw a couple like little bug fixy type stuff, but yeah, I mean, nothing huge. It's really more about getting the Google Fit APIs in there and right, the new services.
If you want apps that use this stuff the day it comes out for your phone, it needs to be out there, and that's what Google is finally doing.
It's, you know, I wrote something, was it last week? I don't think we ever did the stories, because people have been reading so much into the issue tracker that you know, the Google code, you know,
the multi-user tracker. Account situation.
Well, I mean, that's just one of many. So, stories this week that multiple user accounts are coming. Well, we know they're coming. We don't know how. We know they're coming for enterprise because that's how they're going right. to do the...
They announced it.
Yeah.
And the code's already there for tablets. It's, you know, it's there.
Yeah. Let's not lose our stuff over that. We know that's coming somehow. The question is it going to be the same way it is on tablets where just, you know, you can have multiple accounts and that's it? Is it just going to be an enterprise thing only and managed accounts only where you can't even make one yourself? But, you know, as soon as you tie into your corporate stuff, it's going to make a managed account. I don't know. You know, and then people start reading, well, they said it's going to be in the next public build. So does that mean, you know, there's going to be another build coming? And it turns out there was. Or is it going to mean like the actual public release?
The interesting thing was that this latest factory image was only made a few days after the previous one.
Well, the kernel was built a few days after the previous one.
Yeah, so it kind of indicates that maybe the SDK was the thing that made it wait a little longer.
I wouldn't read too much into build numbers and the LVP whatever. I mean, it's designed to let you know how old a build is, but it's only accurate to a certain point.
Well, and I just simply look at that's the only thing that's changed on top of that.
Definitely not your kernel. If this kernel's good enough, it could be in the actual release. If it's right, you don't mess with it.
It's a developer preview. I've kind of run out of ways to say that.
Maybe, just maybe, Apple's smarter to close that up a little bit the way they have in the past. Not this year. But that little stumbling block of making you pay or list yourself as an actual developer is going to give you incentive to learn a little bit more about it before you just randomly install it.
I don't know. Is it that big? Are there that many people that have downloaded the image and flashed it to their Nexus 7 or 5?
Probably not too many, but if there's one person who did it because they saw us talk about it and thought it looked cool, and they didn't know that it was going to make their battery life crap and make programs I feel bad. Maybe we should have been more vigilant telling them, you don't need to try this. Or try it and then delete it a couple hours later and go back to what works.
Any time now, Google should be announcing the new platform version stats, where they tell us, hey, here's what percentage of devices are on this version of Android. And because we're a little over a month, so it was July 7th last time they did one. Do you think they're going to put the L stats on there, even though it's just a developer preview?
No. I'd be surprised if the numbers were even above that of, whatever the lowest
0.1%
or whatever. I don't think it would even register even if they wanted to.
They should totally troll everybody and just put L in there at like 86.
Call it API like 19.99999. What do you think the next one's going to be? 20. Pretty sure. All right. Yeah, that's it on L. I mean, really nothing. I haven't even used it in a while. I tried using
it's unusable is the problem.
I tried using it as my main device for a while, but
it's cool to look at. And if you have time to look at it, knowing that you'll have to reset your phone back up twice because you're going to uninstall it, go for it.
Yeah, it's. I forget which one of you said that the L stands for Let's Flashback to KitKat.
Yeah, that's exactly what it stands for. Lollipop.
And I'm glad Google's put it out this way. I think it's a good thing to try. It's absolutely a good thing to do. But, we got to keep it in perspective. Is all. So that's that.
Once again, when things start getting interesting and burning, you step in with common sense and logic. Damn you, Nickinson.
Sorry. You know what I'm going to step in with now?
What's that?
I'm going to drop some knowledge on you. Naturebox.com. I love this idea. Have you heard of NatureBox, Jerry?
No, I haven't.
The answer is yes, because I just told you about it.
Well, yes, because now it's open in my browser because you told me to look.
So with NatureBox, every month you get a box of delicious snacks. Ooh. And not just any snacks. These are actually like real good snacks. No high fructose corn syrup, which I hate. I'm trying to eat better. Have you noticed? No hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors or colors. They're smarter snacks. That's really what it is. So each snack faces strict quality standards and are nutritionist approved. Instead of having to go out to the store and get them, which frankly I'm at the store every day, I'm kind of tired of it. I'd rather things come to me. They will get delivered straight to your door, to your office, which I'm so doing this, by the way.
I already do that every week for my groceries. It's the future.
Phil.
Fruits, whole wheat fig bars, yes.
Dried figs and popcorn.
So good. All kinds of granola. Savory, sweet, anything you want, they will send it to you.
They ship to Canada.
They ship everywhere. Three sizes, three price points. 5 bags for $20, $19.95. 10 bags for $29.95. But here's the deal. This is awesome.
French Nature toast Box, granola is the deal.
Listen, naturebox.com/AC. You'll get not 10, not 20, but 50% off your very first month.
Ooh.
So that's like nothing.
for really good snacks. All you have to do is go to naturebox.com/AC. Again, naturebox.com/AC. Oh, wait while you do it. Go ahead. All right, good. Naturebox.com/AC.
Dude, they're going to send this food to my house.
All right, where should we pick up? Should we talk about the LG G3? Or we've talked about it so much. No, we good. We did our 2-minute look back.
One sec.
Jerry's still ordering food.
Dude, I'm totally ordering this. I love this kind of stuff. And if it'll come to my door, you got it.
Alex, what was our kind of consensus on the G3 at this point?
I think it's a good phone. I mean, that's kind of a boring conclusion to come to. I think it's generally number two on our list after the M8. They've done a good job of making just a really good, solid all-around phone that does a lot of things very well and doesn't really have much in the way of weaknesses. Probably the closest thing you could say to something that kind of bugs me about the G3 compared to other phones is just the occasional animation stutters that you get. And even that, I think there was another update this week for the European G3 that has improved things a lot there. So it's slowly becoming just this really solid all-around phone that does, has a great screen, big phone, doesn't really feel like a big phone. Nice camera. Big step forward for LG, I think.
Yeah. I think, and I'm still using it as my main phone, especially now that, Google Play Music, never mind. I think the only thing I'm really down on at this point is just the plastic. And it didn't bother me at first. And it's not like it bothers me, but I'm just not as excited about it as I might have been before.
So you said yours was creaking on the back.
A little bit, yeah. And I don't remember the AT&T one. And Jerry, are you still using
that either?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that one creaking at all? This one creaks a little. That's not Verizon's fault that it's creaking.
It creaks no more than any phone with a removable cover is going to creak.
Okay.
It's not perfect, but there are no spots on it that I just touch because it drives me batty and I can't help but touch it. There are none of them on this one.
I've got the European one here, which is the back of it is slightly thicker because there's a wireless charging coil in there. And I'm struggling to see any kind of creaking in it, maybe a little bit around the corners, but it seems pretty solid to me after maybe a month and a half.
I purposefully make sure that even though Phil and the people I work for bought this phone, I treat it like I do my own. When I get in my car, I toss it in the center console. It slides around in there. If I'm walking through the parking lot texting somebody, it has slipped out of my hands and hit the asphalt. It's not screwed up yet. It has taken a few beats and bangs, and it hasn't flown apart like other phones have, so for whatever that's worth.
Really digging the camera. I'd still prefer a smaller phone, but
yeah.
I actually had to, I didn't have a second battery. And it did okay going out to Dallas last week. That's the first trip I think I've taken with the G3. Now that I think about it. Was it?
Mine didn't do too well. I took a trip to San Francisco. it was dead in 6.5 hours, even with going into airplane mode, properly on the plane and everything like that. It was just a lot of moving around and a lot of bouncing between LTE and 3G, I think, did it on the Sprint model. But battery life isn't stellar. It's just acceptable. It gets you through the day.
It's pretty good. I think people would have been less down on battery life had the G2 not just been, as amazingly good as it was last year. Yeah. You do have the removable battery now. Actually, the one thing that makes me really jealous of the Korean G3s is they come with a little stand and spare battery that also doubles as a charger for the spare battery, which is really cool. But you don't get that in the West, unfortunately.
Show that again.
If you can see, it's basically a stand for the phone with a slot for the battery in the front and micro USB at the back.
LG? Pretty neat. Why? Dude, that should have been in every box. That's neat.
It is in every box, but only in Korea.
Well,
or sell it for $40 or something.
I'm pretty sure they will eventually. I mean, they did for the G2. Apparently, it's kind of a Korean thing. Samsung does it as well. They sell they don't sell it. They bundle it with the phone. The GS5 comes with the extra battery kit as is sold separately elsewhere.
So you get that little charger stand thing and an antenna if you live in Korea.
Yep.
I'm pack your bags.
I am moving.
What else is going on? Yahoo and Google are doing encrypted mail. That's a big deal, actually. I mean, it'll be a bigger deal once it's, like, done.
Once it's actually done and available, well, yeah.
Explain that, exactly what they're doing, because...
It's just end-to-end encryption on the email, right?
It's basically a PGP plugin, right? That makes it easier to encrypt mail when it's sent.
What they're doing is, if you use either one of those two services for your email, your mail can only get read by the person that you've addressed it to. They're using PGP. And their servers are authenticating it. If I send Phil something and we're both using Gmail or Yahoo, and we can send back and forth between the two services, it can be encrypted so nobody but Phil or somebody with access to Phil's account can read it.
And kind of the bigger thing is that Yahoo is using the same thing as Google so that they can crosstalk, where previously it has to break. You know, it has to go out into the clear at some point when you switch providers.
That's the huge deal, and that's something, no matter who your favorite operating system is, that's something you should want them to do. Let's all use the same service so I can send Dan mail through Outlook, or I can send Renee through iMail, I can send Phil through Gmail, or you through Yahoo. No matter who I send it to, if I need it to be private and secure for some reason, I can know it's private and secure. That's the important part. And it's a shame that we have to even worry about that in this day and age, but we do.
Waiting until it's just a simple checkbox.
Yep.
And it's checked by default.
And things like this are a big step towards that. You know, the biggest players are Microsoft and Apple that aren't in on this deal, but this kind of gives them incentive to, hey, well, why don't you play ball? Look, Yahoo and Gmail can play nice.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't mention the Moto 360, but pictures leaked out. I forget the blog. It was Mr. Gadget blog, I think.
That's how. Yeah.
I can just open it up and look at the picture because it was right on there. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we're starting to see more pictures. There's somebody on Instagram.
It's the same fellow.
Oh, is it the same person?
Okay. Yes, he definitely has one sitting on his desk for some reason or another, and showing some really neat pictures of it.
Mr. Gadget.net.
A really somewhat awkward-looking charging stand for it.
It is kind of awkward-looking, but on the other hand, they're using a standard for this. It, you know, Qi is actually a standard. So if it's, you know, you don't want to bring this sort of clunky-looking stand around for it, it'll probably work on most, you know, reasonably smartphone-sized sort of Qi chargers.
I mean, all I can say is they're obviously getting closer. If it's getting into more hands like that. So soon, I just do it already. I tell you, I still worry that we're going to get this thing. I mean, because I've worn it, I've seen it. People keep sending us tips like, "Here's a picture of the Moto 360. I've held it."
It's on our site.
There's not much else to say about it, but I still worry that, you know, we're going to get it. A, it needs better. I really want to see the watch faces, because what we still have on Android Wear right now is just not great. But I worry that we're putting this thing up on such a high pedestal, because we've seen it, we've tasted it, and we're still waiting. Less worried about us, but just in general, the royal we.
It's nice. I want one. It looks really nice. But when I see people say, like, I don't even care about, you know, the Gear Live or the G-Watch, because the 360 is where it's at. The 360 is a round version of what you've already seen.
Same software, too.
Exact same stuff.
And we've a bit of a stalemate in that, too, in the software arena.
Yeah, I mean, the software is going to change. It absolutely is going to change. So if you're on the fence for Android Wear, you know, wait. Yeah. Absolutely wait. It's going to change, and it's going to get better.
Buy a Pebble. If you want something to play with and you're not ready to sink $300 is what we think it's going to sell for, you know, that's the general consensus. If you're not ready to spend that, you can find Pebble on sale at Best Buy every now and then for $119. They just had, like, Friday. That's saving $40 from their new normal price, and it's a fun toy, and you can do almost everything you can do with Android Wear with it. and then more because you can use it with your iPhone too.
If you haven't yet, read Jerry's post from last week about how basically these watches are just as dangerous in the car as your phone.
Yeah.
I'm completely convinced of that. And actually, I tell you, I drove from Dallas to Austin last Saturday, and Pebble is better for navigation. It just is. Because it's just there. You don't have to, like, drag up to see it, and it's just better for navigation.
I'm not going to say which is better. You know, that's personal preference. I understand why you're saying what you're saying, because I kind of agree with you.
Because it's right.
Well, but other people may not agree, and that's okay. But what they have to do is make it so when you're moving more than 12 mile an hour or 15 or whatever level they think, send it into no notification mode. And then you won't be looking at it in the car. Just do that automatically.
Yep.
Because there are people who have no self-control.
I wonder if, you know, especially because Motorola's got that built into Assist really nicely.
Yeah.
If somehow they're going to tie that into Android Wear. I hope so. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I hope that's where it goes. But for now, there's a simple solution. We already have a mode where you can shut off, you know, it doesn't blink and flash and buzz. So let's enable some sort of driving mode. And then if you're not the driver, you can disable it. But if you are the driver, you can get in your car and move, and it's just not going to bug you until you stop.
And there's got to be a good reason why the no-notification mode, the silent mode or whatever it's called, is really, really easy to get to all the time.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just, yeah, Phil and I talked about that, and it is very tempting when you're driving down the road and the corner of your eye catches a Hangout message from Andrew, and it ends with LOLOLOLOL. I'm like, oh my, what? I gotta see. And I reach over and touch it, and that's going to kill someone.
Absolutely is. And I wrote up my experiences of trying to use this thing as a boarding pass in the airport, and it works. The problem is the airports aren't necessarily set up for it. I'm trying to think. In Pensacola, it was fine. In Austin, it was fine because the scanners shoot down, so all I have to do is, you know, stick my arm under it. It was fine. TSA was the issue. Like in Pensacola, I still had to like reach over the little lectern where the TSA person is standing, and then like go like this to get it in there. And you know, there's nobody in line when I went through, so like they thought it was cool as hell. Had no problem getting through. I'm sure that's going to vary, and it already has places. In Austin, I didn't even try it because I would have had to like completely reach way over here and just couldn't even get to it. So I'm still fine using a phone. It was our Jason Rabinowitz, who we just heard from, and Heather Poole, who wrote a book. I saw them talking about it on a flight attendant who wrote a really good book. Saw them talking about it on Twitter, and Heather said, you know, yeah, we hate using phones because, you know, people touch phones, and paper is just easy. So I still like using phones. You know, it saves an extra 45 seconds of having to print one out. But yeah, the watch just, you can do it, but it's clunky. Absolutely clunky, and you have to open up the boarding pass on the phone first to get it to show up on the watch.
Part of the inconvenience factor is just having to get the phone out constantly, which is something that strapped to your body you would think would make it easier, but it's a classic case of one of those ideas that just sounds like a way better idea than it is in practice, at least right now.
I would imagine that application developers could make use the notification somehow to create the boarding pass so you don't have to push that button that says open on phone and then it comes back to you.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, it was funny how people didn't really read. You know, I should be surprised. But it's not a Google Now notification. It's part of the Delta app. But there's no like Delta app that you can just go to on the watch. It's installed there. You know, I looked in the packages. There's a Delta thing there. But it's not like I can go to, hey, show me my boarding passes now. You have to actually, you know, open it up on the phone first for it to show it all in the watch.
Growing future.
Yeah.
I guarantee you a year from now that will be better.
Oh, no, definitely, definitely. I'll probably still be using my phone, though. It won't be because of the software. I mean, it's not going to change the fact that in Atlanta, the scanner's shooting, you know, up from the bottom, so I would have to go like this.
Absolutely.
You know, from arm's length to do it, which looks funny. I'm not going to wear my watch, you know. Everyone's like, oh, well, just wear it on the underside of your wrist. And, well, I don't want to. That's not comfortable. I want to wear my watch like I'm supposed to.
Like a second watch for the other side of your wrist.
Right,
And you alternate one on each arm.
Double-sided watch. Which is not a good idea. Nobody do that. Nobody make that, please.
Oh, you know it's happening eventually.
Make it, Samsung, and put a projector in the buckle.
Alex, anything about EVA we need to talk about?
There's just under four, I think.
Yeah.
So we got invites this week, started going out for the Samsung Unpacked event in Berlin and also New York and Beijing.
Yep.
So that's happening. Strong hints that there being a Note 4 there, as there always is. There have been for the past 3 years. We had our thing today, a preview of what we're expecting. Not really a whole lot tends to leak out about the notes beyond just the general basic specs, because you get those appearing in benchmark sites and whatnot.
It's going to have a Snapdragon something 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 processor at something something gigahertz.
It'll have an 805 or whatever the equivalent Exynos is. I think 2K is pretty much a given at this point, especially with that chip. But as always, it's going to come down to what's new in the design, whether they're sticking with the plastic stuff, whether they want to make the journey into metal. Like, we've already seen leaks of the Galaxy Alpha this week, which is the new metal framed device they're working on. So we'll see how that goes. The specs have leaked. We don't really know anything much beyond that, so we'll have to wait and see.
Cool. Anything else in the Q&A we want to get to, or before I stick a fork in it? I don't want to talk about Nexus 6 today. I'm sorry, guys. I just don't.
Well, show the people the Nexus 6 you got laying there.
Oh, okay. Oh, you know what I do have here?
What?
Finally. Can you see it? Uh-huh. I got a 1 plus 1. I might even have two 1 plus 1s. I got to figure out what to do with the other one. Maybe I'll
See what you did there.
Yeah.
Bill has two more 1 plus 1s than I care about.
I tell you, it's like hardware-wise, it's actually really nice. I haven't had any of the problems yet. I need to switch over to it full-time, so with that caveat. First blush, really, really nice hardware. It's still really huge. I don't want a phone that big.
In the way that the G3 feels smaller than the screen size, the 1 plus 1 feels bigger than the screen size.
I don't know about that. It's really tall.
I only wrote the review on it, no big deal.
No, I disagree then. I'm allowed to disagree. No, I mean, you can see how much taller it is here. Yeah, that's...
I mean, it feels, at least to me anyways, feels really big.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's probably the height more than the width, isn't it, at that point?
Yeah. My bigger problem is with these phones, and I have the same problem with the G3, because I think these are just about the same width. Yeah, so they don't fit in my cup holder in the car, which I guess is a sign that I should just keep it in my pocket.
It's a sign you need a new car.
I mean, that's why they redesigned big gulp cups so they'll fit in there. They got to think about that on the phones too, right?
A gulp
if
phone.
If only you worked for a company that sold a mount you could clip onto.
We're going to make Andrew review one, except, damn it, that won't work.
Yeah, I could just,
put in an Uber.
I get a mock dashboard or something here to testing car stuff.
Is that thing from Google I.O., like fake car chassis, you can just...
Yeah, like half a cabin.
In your apartment.
It'd be awesome. Where do we go? Where's the Q&A? So yeah, no Nexus 6 today, sorry.
Did we talk about Verizon throttling LTE people on the podcast yet?
Nope, don't want to.
I think it was inevitable.
And it said that in the fine print, since, they use stone tablets to write this kind of fine print. If you didn't expect this one day, you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, and this whole ploy of not buying phones or buying phones at full price and stuff was... It was a ploy to get more money out of you while this was happening.
Yeah. And they're no different than any other company. T-Mobile and Sprint can technically give you unlimited, unthrottled, unless you break these weird conditions and are in the wrong place at the wrong time, using too much, then you're going to get throttled. I don't care. They're all the same.
And come on now, they do quality of service checks on all the towers already. It's just now they chose the right people to do it with.
Exactly.
I don't know about that. If you say that you're going to limit...
Well, I shouldn't say the right people. I should say chose people to do it.
If you're going to limit the top 5% and not touch the other 95%, overall that means you're only going to fix 5% of your problems.
I already think that it's it's stupid that if I went out in the middle of nowhere and used 200 gigs in 3 days and then came back into the city and just wanted to download an email attachment, I shouldn't be the person that gets throttled. Hmm. I understand that. But they chose somebody to put the blame on because now they only have 5% of people complaining, not 95.
I think the reason this was done out in public like this is more of a cover your own posterior and, hey, look, FCC, we have to go to these great lengths to manage our network. We could really use some of that spectrum that you don't want us to buy.
Right.
Yep, we're not talking about it.
Sorry.
All right, and with that, I'm officially sticking a fork in it. We are done. I didn't do any emails again this week because the live Q&A is just so good.
And timely.
And timely. And something's weird with my email, so I can't even see him right now. What's going on, Gmail? Where are my little things? Oh, wait, because that's the wrong one. It's the wrong Gmail account. Nope, we'll get to some next week, I think. Podcast at androidcentral.com if in fact you do want to email us, just so I can't read it on air. Sorry. You can get us all on Google Plus, search our names, Android Central, just search for our names, Phil, Jerry, all of us. You'll find us. We're also on Twitter. If you're not following Android Central on Instagram yet, do that because we're sharing more stuff there and having fun. And I'm going to give some hats away next week if you want an Android Central Lloyd hat, which look really cool. I need to get them to send me one. Or maybe to Jerry. I think it'd look better on Jerry. Instagram.com/AndroidCentral. In addition to Lynda.com and NatureBox, we're also brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Call 888-468-6158. Extension, no, not extension. I'm going to take that line out. 888-468-6158. Keep an eye out on the social networks for various deals going out throughout the day as well. It's doing really well, so that's cool. Awesome that they're offering up discounts for following us and doing cool stuff. Anything else? Are we done?
I think we're done, yeah.
Awesome. Jerry, Alex, Andrew. Everybody listening live, thank you. Everybody listening later, thank you. See you next
everybody
week.
Everybody not listening, thank you.
Everybody not listening.
Thank everybody. You for being you.
Yeah. Everybody in my office who listens to me babble for an hour, thank you. We have really thin walls. All right, that's it. Thanks, guys.
Goodbye.
See you later.
That episode of the Android Central podcast was brought to you by Lynda.com. That's Lynda.com with more than 2,400 courses taught by industry experts. Watch video on how to learn Photoshop, Adobe Premiere, how to make a website. Watch it with your Chromecast. Watch it on a tablet. Learn all the things. Go to lynda.com/AndroidCentral to get a free 7-day trial.